the Lord, that is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, that is joy forevermore. Amen. Today I'll be talking on, we are still in our month of Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. And I'll be talking about the place of Holy Spirit in marriage. I call it Holy Spirit-filled marriage. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have all established, the preachers before me, the pastors, the other ministers, they have talked about who the Holy Spirit is. We know the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen. It's not a force. Hallelujah. It's a being. Amen. Hallelujah. The first of the Godhead we are introduced to individually in the scripture is the Holy Spirit. In the book of Genesis, we are told, in the beginning was God. I didn't tell us which of the Godhead was it. But when we come to the second part of it, he said what? And the Spirit of God over the surface of where? Of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. See, that is one thing about the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of perfection. The whole earth was without form, without shape. And the Holy Spirit came to prepare the earth for the man so that we can be able to live in peace and live in abundance that the God wants for us. Hallelujah. Amen. We have already established long before now, for those who have been here a long time, that marriage is only for believers. Praise the Lord. I know the unbelievers do get married, and we know what the end result is. Oh, beautiful lady, you're here. Praise the Lord. And we know what the end result is always is. Statistically, in America, the divorce force is about what? 50%. We have seen 3 hours marriage in this country. Hallelujah. But today we are talking about our spirit-filled marriage. Praise the Lord. And at the end of the day, by the grace of God, we are going to pray. Every marriage that is stand, that God will keep them standing in the name of Jesus. And every marriage that is struggling, the power of the Lord will go into it. The Spirit of God will over it, as he over the surface of the earth, and will restore anything that needs to be restored in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let me introduce my lesson with this story. There was a young man that needed a new bike very badly. And he went to his mother and he said, "Mommy, I need a bike." And mommy said, "Okay, I want you to write a letter to God that you need a bike." And the boy went to the house and he wrote, "Dear God, I've been very good this year. I need a bike." Pray for the second day, didn't get a bike. And he said, "Okay, maybe I have not been very good." He said, "Dear God, I've been all right this year. Can I get a bike?" And he couldn't get the bike. And on the third day, and he said, "Dear God, I need a bike tomorrow. I want a bike with a shining wheel, with these kind of, make a different specifications." And the bike would not come. And you know what the guy did? He went to the church. And he saw the statue of Mary and took it home and write another letter to God. "God, I need a bike now. If you want your mother." Hallelujah. Amen. When God is not answering in the way that he wants it, then he kidnaps God's mother. I say, "God, if you still want your mother, get me that bike." Praise the Lord. That is how most of us as Christians today, we run our marriage. We think it's by power, it's by force. Hallelujah. Amen. God is the originator of marriage. Praise the Lord. God took Adam in the Garden of Eden and was taking him round and round. "Can you name this one Adam?" Adam said, "Oh, we call this one a goat." And God said, "Goat shall he be." And he took him round. "We call this called a cat." And the cat is his name. And Adam named, he knows male and female. He knows a female cat, a female dog. And he looks around, there was none that was just like his own. I think Adam must have been very sad. Oh, well, there's a female dog and the female cat and the male dog and the male lion, but that's not a female Adam. And God, who knows the heart of man, and went and communed with the triune God in heaven and said, I think it's not good for this man to be what? To be alone. And God made Eve for Adam. It is God that made Eve. It is God that brought Eve to him. Praise the Lord. That is why psychology book. Amen. That is why technology, any of any kind, dating advice of any kind that is secular can run a marriage successfully except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he's the originator. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to run your radio or TV correctly, who do you read? The manual of the maker of that TV or whatever the gadget you are talking about. Praise the Lord. Amen. I said at the very beginning of human history, you know, human history begins with marriage. And human history is going to end with what? It's going to be married too. Praise the Lord. Because God is coming to come and marry his church. Praise the Lord. I said, yeah, it is not good. God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper that is suitable for him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. We're not going to open it because we are going to open a lot of Bible. He said, no single individual that is of age is complete by his or herself. Praise the Lord. If you think you are complete by yourself, my dear mother, there is a complete example. I saw a picture on the Facebook. I took the picture to my wife. I said, look, who is in this picture? And she looked. I said, put your glasses on so you can see very, very clearly. And a beautiful. I said, look at this woman is radiating the glory of the Lord right now. Hallelujah. With this edge here that is shining. Hallelujah. It is good. And you see, God is God is a perfection. He used the other person to do what? To perfect us. Everything that needs to be complemented in one individual, God used their wife or their husband to do what? To complement it. And that is always the history. Even Adam. Praise the Lord. I said, no single individual that is of age is complete by his or herself. Every individual needs companionship. To meet this need, God ordained marriage and provide Adam with a wife. Marriage is the closest and the most intimate form of companionship possible between two individuals. Praise the Lord. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, you know what Paul or the apostle call it? He call it a mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is a long-kept secret that only the initiated ones can know. Hallelujah. In the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, Solomon called it a locked garden. Amen. That's another mystery right there. In Yoruba, we used to say, your size does not open a door, except you have what? Except you have the key. Amen. That's a quick giddy bow. How big you are doesn't open a door. There is no way you can use your own effort to run a marriage. It's going to be a complete failure. Because it's what? It's a mystery. It is locked in the heart of the Lord. And the only thing that can reveal it is by his own spirit. Hallelujah. They have been praying for people. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? If not, you need to be. Praise the Lord. That is if you are married. And if you intend to get married one day, you need it. Praise the Lord. So that your Adam will not go and pick Jezebel or the wife of another person. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I put there, it's only by the Spirit of grace. That is that's another name for Holy Spirit. The Bible call it what? The Spirit of grace. Let's go there in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. That is one of the names of the Holy Spirit. The Bible call it the Spirit of grace. And what you know what grace is? A favor that you do not merit. That is, all that God can give to man, that is grace. And that's Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He said, it's only by the Spirit of grace that we can have a glorious marriage. I want to write it down. It is only by the Spirit of grace, either you are married or not. Write it down. If you have a marriage right now, it is only by the Spirit of grace. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, that we can have a glorious marriage. He said, how much surer punishments suppose you shall he be brought worthy, who also trodden under the foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified and holy things, and has despised to the Spirit of grace. Amen. The marriage that is glorious is not by knowledge. Because the Bible says, whoever find a wife, find what? That means is the favor of the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you have a wonderful marriage, God bless you. It's God by favor. It's God's favor. If your marriage is still struggling, God bless you. God can make it right. Hallelujah. Because that is it's his handiwork. It's the one that determines it. It's the one that originates it. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, how do I have a glorious marriage? Or what are the signs that you will see that this is a spirit-filled marriage? So if yours doesn't fall under this line, that means something is wrong and it needs to be put right. Number one, everyone in a glorious marriage know that it's a covenant. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. In verse 13 of that place, can we get that place? Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. These people are praying and praying and praying, and they are fasting and they are doing everything. See, sometimes religious can't do it. Hallelujah. Except to the obedience to the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. They were praying and they asked God, God, why is it that you are not answering us? Why is it that our prayers are not answered? And God replied. And yet you say, why? They were asking why. We are praying. We are fasting. Nothing is going right for us. And God said, why? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth. At every marriage, the witness that is there, either man or woman who is not there, God is what? That's why it's a covenant. Praise the Lord. He said, between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and the wife of what? Of your covenant. Marriage is what? It's not an agreement. It's not. Amen. It's a covenant. And every covenant is based on life laid down. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 15. When you get back home, just read it when you get back home. Let me paraphrase because of our time. I know our time is going very fast. And I don't want to delay you. God wanted to make a covenant with Abraham. And you know what he did in vision? He cut an animal in two. And he laid it one at the other side. And he took Abraham through it. And that is where the covenant become a band. See, today God is falling for fulfilling that covenant. So if your marriage is struggling, things are not going right, you have to make it right with your wife or with your husband. If it is not right, you are doing what? That is why adultery is much more dangerous than fornication. Because one is a what? Is a covenant. So when you commit an adultery, you are a covenant breaker. Praise the Lord. Amen. And let's look at You see, if there's no life laid down in that marriage, praise the Lord, the marriage is not consummated. That means it's not a valid marriage. So the day you're making a covenant with your wife and God is there, you know, the life was laid down. Whose life was laid down at the cross of Calvary? The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If on your wedding day, the Lord Jesus Christ was pronounced, that means a covenant has been what? Has been made. I pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. So every marriage is entered with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Each life is laid down. That means whatever the life I'm living now, I'm not living my own life. I'm living the life of Olubisi Inike Emiela. And the life that she's living now is what? You have to lay your life for each other. Because it's what? It's a covenant. Praise the Lord. That is a sign of a spirit-filled covenant. I mean, a marriage. A marriage that is ordained by the Holy Spirit. A marriage that is as Holy Spirit in it. You live your life through what? Through each other. Praise the Lord. You cannot, there's no I anymore. It's now what? It's now us. When you're in your marriage, you are saying, this is my car. This is my house. That is not marriage. You are breaking a covenant. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's not what will I give. I mean, it's not what will I get. It's what? What will you give? And what else can you give us more than your life? Hallelujah. Amen. So that is a sign that this marriage is of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. You see, the people that make you mad most are either your husband or your wife. I can speak that for myself. Hallelujah. Amen. Because they are the closest one to us, right? You understand what I'm saying? They are the one that is very close to, and the Yoruba will say, is the one that you sleep very close to that you always, you always roll onto. You understand what I'm saying now? Praise the Lord. If you are sleeping on the same bed, can you roll on each other? On different bed, can you roll on each other? You will roll down before you can roll back onto the other. But when you close, so that is why you cannot but offend yourselves. But if you have laid your life down for each other, okay, what else can I do? You have my life already. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now let's go to the individual role now. Number one, the husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. Let's read it. We know it. Number one, the husband is the head of the house. That is a marriage-filled covenant. I mean, marriage that is filled with the power of the Lord. Amen. The husband is what? Is the head of the house. That's how the God ordained. No. You know, these days, there's equality now, right? All of us are what? Equal in the sight of the law. But in the things of the spirit, when it comes to marriage, husband is what? As the head. Let me step back a little bit to the wife. The wife is the neck. And you know what? The power of the marriage is in the hand of the women. We are head. Physiologically, the head controls every part. That's why the head has to be a spirit-filled man, so that he's not going to misuse his head. But I'm a biology teacher. We know that the nerves that go through the spinal cord, everything is controlled by what? The brain. And where does the brain reside? In the cranium, in the head. But who directs where the head goes? Hallelujah. Amen. We are sharing a head provides, it protects, it nourishes. Amen. The blood flows from the head to different parts of the body. When it comes from the heart, it goes through the head, the brain. If your brain is dead, what happened? You are technically dead. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are sharing a joke, me and brother John and the other people in the back. We said that when the head is supposed to provide for the wife, when your wife is paying your house rent, you have trouble. You have problem. You need to look for another job. Hallelujah. Now, in America, things are difficult, right? But you need to be each other's. When we come to the role of women, you understand what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. But you need to provide for your... The Bible says, a man that does not provide for his house is what? It's what? When your wife is the one that is feeding you, you have problem. That is not a marriage that is filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, can you please check me when the time is going so that I will not overshoot my time? Praise the Lord. We were sharing, the joke that was said we are sharing is, we said, in the garden of the first woman that fed a man, the first time a woman feed a man, what is the consequence? We got kicked out of paradise. Hallelujah. Is that not the story? Amen. The first time that the man took his responsibility and gave to the woman, and the woman decided, oh, this is what you are going to eat. Take this and do what? And eat. What happened? God said, get out of the paradise and kick us out. Hallelujah. Listen to me. No matter how difficult it's going to be, no matter, as you know, you are what? The head. You should provide for the body. I pray the Lord, everything that you need to be a man in your house, God is going to provide for you in Jesus' name. But you are the head. Don't abdicate your responsibility to the woman. If you don't have it right now, God is going to provide it for you. But let that woman see you are struggling. That will tell you, please, darling, can you please slow down? I know you're trying, but you're not there yet. But don't kill yourself over it. And the day that you're going to be able to do all that things, God is going to make it happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to the women also. Women, you are the helper to that man. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, you are to do what? You are to help. Amen. You are the neck. Can the blood get to the different part of the body without passing through the neck? Impossible. Can't. When a man's head is broken, what I mean is not possible, it can't be possible. Praise the Lord. I just put it together. Praise the Lord. If the blood is going from the head, if somebody gets an accident and his neck is broken, what is going to happen to the other part of the body? He's paralyzed, completely paralyzed. You are the one that runs. They said the power behind the throne is the power of women. If you see a king in the palace, the person that is running that palace is not the king itself. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning something happened. I was trying to wash some clothes, and my clothes is one of them. And a girl said in the process, he said, I've spoiled one of your shirts. I said, no problem. You're going to buy another one. Because, you know why I say that? Because I'm the one that iron in the house. They wash it. I'm the 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already awake, ironing the clothes that everybody's going to wear to church. I'll go to work. Praise the Lord. But I don't do the washing to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. She does that. So if I'm watching, there's a match going on, especially when my team on EPL, English is playing, and I'm watching and I burn a cloth. No. I will buy another one, and the next 7 days, after the cloth has been bought, I will be hearing it. That is how you bought, but I bought another one. That's not enough. But you shouldn't have bought it in the first place. It's the same type, the same. Yeah, you shouldn't have bought it. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is, you are to help. Now, if you are not a helper, and this man needs help, and he's trying and do all that he can do to get the end meet, and you say, my money is my money. Because you are the head of the house, you're supposed to provide for every one of us, and you are putting your hands in your pocket, you are not going to get the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. And that shows the Spirit of God is not in you. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit. He's going to tell you what you are doing is what? The Bible says he's going to teach us what? All things. How to run your families also. Amen. A man of the house is the priest of the house. Amen. That is why that we women, we are going to wake up this year, praise the Lord. Women come here one Saturday every month and pray for the children and pray for the home. Women have not. We go to houses too and pray, but we need to. That's going to be generally for a day of prayer. Praise the Lord. That we can pray. If your wife is praying more than you, you need help. Praise the Lord. God told Abraham, I know of Abraham that he will teach what? His children. God expects that man to be responsible, to be the one that is washing the house by the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And sometimes it happens. The wife, you know, women are always forced to take to accept religion. You understand what I'm saying? They are the ones. So maybe she knows the Bible more than you do. You know what you do? Sit down and learn. When they say there's Bible studies, you should be what? The first to be there. When they hand out that paper for Bible studies, go home and do what? Chew on it. Digest it. Internalize it. And let the word of God begin to be what? So you be the teacher of your own house. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians 5:26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Please let me know when the time is first spent. Amen. Do we get it? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Anybody there? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by what? By the word of the Lord. What about another word? Let's go back to the wife now. You are to support and to uphold. To do what? To support and uphold. Your husband comes home tired, discouraged. And the first thing you said, where have you been? And you think you're going to eat and you begin to bring another problem. This is a man that is tired and discouraged and is supposed to come home and do what? Be encouraged. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you now do what? You have your PhD as soon as he comes home. You know what that PhD means? Pull him down. You pull him further what? Further down. You're not a spirit. No matter how many tongues you can blow, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. Hallelujah. No matter how much you can pray, you do not have the Spirit. A marriage that is filled with the Holy Spirit, a woman that is filled with the Holy Spirit, will do what? Even when it is not convenient for you, but you see him discouraged, you go there and do what? Uplift him and support him. Hallelujah. Let him think that, let him come home and say, I think I need to go home. There's nobody I can share with this except with my wife. But when it comes on and you came home to you and you begin to do what? Discourage, that marriage is not going to be an happy one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are to uphold or encourage. You are supposed to be the priest. When the husband is the prophet of the house, you're supposed to be what? Priest of the house. Intercede for the children and for who? For the husband. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm trying to touch and rush it because I don't want us to go more than beyond my time. Praise the Lord. And let's rise up on our feet. The husband be the head. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. And the last one I'm going to give you, let's stand up. That I'm going to tell you is this. Wife, honor your husband. Respect. Let me tell you something. You know, the Bible didn't tell, there's no way in the Bible you will read, the Bible says, wife, love your husband. You won't find it there. What the scripture says, wife, submit or honor your husband. You know, we men are wired that way. When a woman respects you, we consider that as love. Hallelujah. Women are more sentimental. We don't show that love. You don't say, oh, you're so beautiful today. You're nice today. And no, but men, when a man comes home and you begin to kick him by behind, you throw a plate. When you want to give him a plate of rice and you throw it like you throw it to donkey. That's the sign of what? Disrespect. No matter how much you say you love that man, the man is not going to consider as love. You are to do what? Respect your husband. Let's begin to pray. Let's bow our head. Every marriage that needs fixed, that the Lord begin to fix it right now. Every struggling marriage in our midst, that the Lord begin to repair, the God begin to rebuild. Husband, you are the head of the house. You're supposed to love your wife. He was supposed to nourish. He was supposed to feed. Wife, you are the support. You are the helpmate. And you're supposed to respect. Give honor to your husband. Every marriage that's right now struggling, that the Lord will revive. Every marriage that is dying, the Lord will breathe a breath of life into them.